Hello, welcome to Bringing Bach Back, the podcast that explores the church year through the theology and music of Johann Sebastian Bach. The idea of the show is pretty simple. Each week, we're going to look at a different cantata written by Bach for a particular day of the church year. We'll examine the music, the theology, and the original use of each of the cantatas that we study, including hearing the scripture lessons appointed for that day. After a brief discussion of each part, we'll give a rough translation of the text from the German to the English so that we can understand the message Bach was seeking to convey with his music. We'll listen to the cantatas movement by movement, imagining what it was like to hear that cantata for the first time in a weekly church service. And as we do so, we'll learn that Bach was boldly Lutheran and hopefully seek to bring Bach back to the Lutheran Church. We'll begin this episode with the same words that Bach wrote at the beginning of all his music pieces, Jesu Juva, Jesus Help. This week we have the pleasure of listening to cantata number 44, which is entitled They Will Ban You, or They Will Excommunicate You, or as it said in the Gospel of John, They Will Throw You Out. And that is going to be kind of the focus of this particular cantata. It is a beautiful cantata, but it is a simpler cantata. The reason being, the month that Bach wrote this particular cantata, he had to write 7 cantatas. And so you can imagine that that gets to be quite a bit to prepare, both writing the music, training the musicians, and practicing to perform at the proper time. And so for that reason, it's maybe just a little bit simpler, and yet it really has some amazing and beautiful parts of it. It is a cantata that is written for the 7th Sunday of Easter, and this is the last Sunday of Easter before the season of Pentecost and Trinity comes just the next week after this. And so for that reason, it does move us from the idea of Christ's resurrection with an idea of looking ahead towards the life of the church, the time when that we live in here and now. It has 2 scripture readings that are appointed for Exaudi Sunday, and we're going to hear both of them. The first one comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The gospel lesson appointed for Exaudi Sunday comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, chapters 15 and 16. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You heard there in that gospel lesson the idea that is the entire theme of this particular cantata, and it is that they will cast you out. The idea, of course, Jesus, when he's speaking these words, is telling us that they will be cast out of the synagogues and even persecuted for believing in him. And the idea is still true in our world today, where oftentimes, because we are Christian, we face persecution and are even cast out of organizations, or as things seem to be heading sometimes today, even cast out of the public sphere, out of the world, out of the dialogue that people in our world are able to have. In a sense, it's Jesus foretelling people being canceled merely because they are Christian. And that is the idea that we're going to hear sung a lot in this particular cantata. So at this time, we'll move ahead and start to talk about the cantata. The cantata begins with a tenor and bass duet, and the words that the tenor and the bass are singing back and forth are the words from John chapter 16, specifically verse 2. They will cast you out. They will excommunicate you, maybe is a good way to translate the word there. The word is ban, and it can mean excommunicate. It can mean also cast out. It can mean just even ban. That's where our English word ban comes from. And this is quoting exactly then from the Gospel of John, but it also is talked about by our Lord Jesus Christ, for example, in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21, that says, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. And you can also see this also in the life of St. Paul being carried out, all the persecution and challenges that he faced. Specifically, think about when he returned to Jerusalem after the end of his missionary journeys, and he was arrested and treated as a Gentile by his own people, imprisoned and almost forgotten about, finally appealing to have his case heard by Caesar. And so the very words that Jesus spoke, that our cantata is based on, was really carried out in the life of early Christians, specifically in the apostles themselves, as well as it is being carried out even today for us Christians in this world. This first movement, this tenor and bass duet, it will sound like it kind of ends rather abruptly. That's because it flows right into the next part, which is a chorus. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you see the tenor and the bass going back and forth and repeating these words. And I think that's really an amazing picture for us to get in. If you'll recall, oftentimes Bach uses the bass voice to indicate the voice of Christ. And of course, these words are an exact quote of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the bass singing them. And then we have the tenor repeating that back and forth. That is a great picture of how we work as Christians. Christ speaks his word to us, and we speak it back to him. This is the way the liturgy of our church works, and this is also the way that we learn the faith. We hear God's word, and we speak it back to God. We hear what God promises, and we ask him to give it in prayer. God gives us his gifts, and we thank God for those specific gifts that he gives. And so you have this idea here in this tenor and bass duet. It does begin with the oboes laying the foundation, then it kind of devolves into this chaotic sort of tenor bass duet back and forth. And I think that also indicates the way that I imagine those early Christians being cast out felt, and that we often feel as we are cast out in this world. The chaos of that particular moment is well emphasized. And so we'll hear the words sung by the tenor and bass now that are as follows. They will cast you out. Let's listen now.
Ich bin die Mann.
So you heard there the way that the tenor and the bass were singing back and forth, and the oboes were playing the same notes that they were singing, and so you have the four times, two oboes and the tenor and the bass playing those particular notes and singing them, and how it is a little bit chaotic to have all those different parts. They don't always go together, but you do have that time when they all come together and repeat the same thing at the same time. And this is going to lead then into the chorus that we're going to hear, and the chorus is going to continue with the words of the Gospel of St. John, and it's going to pick up right where we left off, and these are the words we'll hear. There will come a time, however, when whoever kills you will think he is doing God a service. In other words, there will come a time when people think it's a good thing to persecute or kill Christians. And this is going to pick up right where we left off with the tenor and the bass, but now it's going to be sung by the chorus. The choir is going to be able to bring about the seriousness of the things they're talking about. It's going to be a very dramatic way of bringing these words across. And it again has the feel of the urgency and the chaos of facing persecution. But this is all going to be resolved then with the very last note as it kind of brings it to its close so we can prepare to hear the movement that comes after this. Now again, the idea is that there'll come a time when people think it's good to persecute Christians. And this does make us think of the souls of the Christians who are located under the altar in heaven in the book of Revelation, who cry out to God saying, "How long until you avenge our blood? How long until you make things right, the things specifically that have happened by our deaths and by our persecutions in that world?" We know that that day is coming, and if you think about the time of the church year, this particular cantata is falling. We just had the Ascension celebrated, and we are about to head into the time of the church, and we're in that weird in-between time of life, the time of the church where we're waiting for Christ to return. It's that day when Christ returns that he will make all things right, when those who have been killed for being a Christian will be brought back to life, when all sin will be destroyed, and where we will inherit eternal life with God. And so that's the reason that we do have a little bit of resolution at the end of this particular chorus, because we know that's what's coming. But as we are still here in this world, we need to know the reality of the challenges that we'll face. So we'll hear this chorus sung now. It's good. Next, we're going to hear an aria sung by the alto voice, and it is a really beautiful aria, and it's going to kind of summarize what we've heard so far in this particular cantata. The words we'll hear sung are this: Christians must on earth Christ's true disciples be. For them awaits at all hours, till they blessedly overcome, torture, ban, and grievous pain. And again, that word ban could be excommunication or maybe a modern translation, canceling. And so you see here that we are kind of bringing the ideas that we heard in Peter's epistle, the epistle lesson for this Sunday, into this particular cantata. We're supposed to live as Christians, as true disciples. We're supposed to act like Christ did until finally we receive the reward that is coming. And in the face of that, as we live here in this world as Christians, we will face torture, canceling, and grievous pain. And so this is really important for us to get right as Christians, to know that Christ has not promised that this world is always going to be perfect and wonderful. It is not a Joel Osteen sort of world. What we have been promised is that in this world we will have tribulation. These are the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says this in John's Gospel: I have said this to you that you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Right before that, in John chapter 15, he also says this: If you were of the world would love you. But you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you. And this is the truth of how we live as Christians. The world might not like that we're Christian. The world might put us down for speaking the truth. And yet we know that we belong to Christ and that one day we will blessedly overcome, as the words of this particular movement teach us. Now, the words of St. Peter then inform us how we live even though we're going to face torture, excommunication, and grievous pain in this world. And so we are self-controlled. We are sober-minded. We love one another earnestly because that love is the thing that covers sin. We show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As we receive things, we use it to serve those around us, good stewards of God's varied grace. And when we speak the oracles of God. When we serve by the strength that God supplies, so that in everything in our life, despite torture, canceling, and grievous pain, God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. These are the words of that epistle from 1 Peter. God is glorified through Jesus Christ, and he is glorified through Jesus Christ in you living as a Christian. And this particular aria is going to drive that idea home for us. We'll listen to it right now. Grrrr. You heard how beautiful and yet kind of gloomy that particular movement was, and that's because it is never easy to face the challenges of persecution and struggle here on this earth. And the way that the alto voice and that the continuo and the oboe all blend together bring that gloominess about. And yet, in the face of that, there is a glimmer of hope, tiny though it may be. And it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is brought in just that one little phrase, till we blessedly overcome. That is the hope of us as Christians, the inevitable rescue from this world of toil and sorrow by what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished by his cross and resurrection. And that kind of is the capstone then of this Easter season. With that, we are at the end of the first half of this particular episode of Bringing Bach Back. We invite you back afterwards as we continue to look at Cantata number 44, They Will Cast You Out.
You are listening to KNNA
LP
95.7
FM
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Welcome back to Bringing Bach Back. We're continuing to look at Cantata number 44 by Bach. They will cast you out of the synagogues. They will ban you. They will excommunicate you. We've been talking about the persecution that we face as Christians here on earth, and we've just been given just a little bit of a hint, a glimpse of the good news that is to come, and that is that we will blessedly overcome despite torture Band, and Grievous Pain. And with that, we're going to continue to look at this particular cantata. The next movement is a chorale. But this chorale is not going to be sung by the entire choir. It will only be sung by the tenor voice. And it kind of is beautiful the way that that happens. In the background, you can hear the continuo playing on the organ. And the choir of tenors is going to sing this. Ah, God, how many a grief meets me in this life. The narrow way is affliction filled, which I to heaven must travel. And these words are words to a hymn by a man named Martin Mohler. This hymn was written all the way back in the 1580s, and it is sometimes thought of as a paraphrase of a Latin hymn attributed to Bernard of Clairvaux. However, it is a Lutheran hymn all the same. Martin Mohler, of course, is a hymn writer who lived from about 1547, the time that Martin Luther died, all the way until right before the beginning of the 30 Years' War in the 1600s. He is from a place near Wittenberg, and he, a poet and a mystic who served as a pastor in the town of Kesseldorf in near Wittenberg. He wrote many hymns, and this is perhaps one of his most famous ones, and it has been set to several tunes throughout the course of history, and yet it is not in our hymnal, perhaps because of that mystic part of his life, and for that reason we don't have him in the hymnal. But this particular hymn does build on the ideas that we have been talking about, that affliction fills the path of our pilgrimage as Christians. Affliction is a part of this world. As we said before, in this world you will face tribulation. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says the same thing again in Matthew chapter 7, where he says, "The gate is narrow, the way is hard, and those who find it are few." Even more that Jesus says later on in the Matthew's gospel, that whoever would come after me needs to deny himself to take up his cross and follow me. And this again is the idea that we heard from 1 Peter chapter 4, the epistle lesson for this week, that as Christians we still live a Christian life, even though the way is affliction filled. And so we'll hear this now sung by the tenors, this chorus of tenors, and we'll hear it at this time. Next, we're going to hear a rather dramatic bass recitation, and this dramatic bass recitation is going to kind of talk about the Antichrist. And you remember that the Antichrist has several meanings. First off, Antichrist means against Christ or instead of Christ. It is a Greek term that we've kind of transliterated into English, and it first off represents, yes, a great Antichrist who is foretold to come towards the end of the world, but in a little more minor way, it represents anyone who is looking for something instead of Jesus or against Jesus. And so keep that idea in mind. There's several different things that this means. We're going to hear these particular words sung in this bass recitation. The Antichrist seeks that great monster with sword and fire to persecute the members of Christ, since their teachings are contrary to him. he imagines that in this way, that what he does must be pleasing to God. But Christians are like the branches of palm trees, which, when they are weighed down, only grow higher. And so there's several thoughts there, and perhaps it's difficult to follow that, just hearing it like that. So the first part is this, that the Antichrist is a great monster who with sword and fire is persecuting Christians. The reason that he's persecuting Christians is he believes that their teachings are against him. And as you hear that idea, think about the way the world is going right now. Why are so many people so angry at Christians? Because the things that we teach go against the teachings of the world. Think about all the teachings of the church that the world is against, that the world persecutes, that the world is angry about, and yet they are the clear teachings of Scripture. We condemn sin as sin. We must do so because Christ has said so. And yet, as we do so, the Antichrist, both the big one and all the little ones in the world, become angry at us and desire our elimination. The reason the Antichrist feels this way is because he thinks he knows better. He is to quote Pastor Kuhlman, a God within-er. They want to listen to their own reason, their own voice, their own understandings, their own explanations of the way the world works to come to the truth. The problem is that this doesn't work because God is God and we are not. And so thinking that you are Christian when you're teaching something that is against Christian teaching, against Scripture, really against God, just doesn't work. But as Christians, even as we face persecution, as the world weighs us down, this picture of a palm branch that's being weighed down, that is still growing higher, that is still ascending, that is still getting closer to God, even though the world is after it. That is the closing picture of this particular movement. And so we'll hear the bass sing this, and as we do so, we can think about how this is the same teaching that is in other places in Scripture as well. The book of Timothy says, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings." Or sometimes we hear their itching ears will hear exactly what they want to. Or how about this from Romans chapter 10? "I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but it is not enlightened." Paul talking about those who are at least outwardly seeming to be glad for God, but they don't actually listen to what he says. And this is the reality of this world. In this world, we have a little while to suffer various trials so that our faith may be tested, but that idea of palm branches still growing and reaching up to the sky, or as Peter says earlier in his epistle, once we're tested, we're found to be more precious than gold. Again, driving back to what Bach has already said in this cantata, because of what Jesus has done and accomplished for us. And so we'll hear this bass recitation sung at this time.
Es sucht der Antichrist das große Ungeheuer mit Schwert und Feuer die Glieder Christi zu verfolgen, weil ihre Lehre ihm zuwider ist. Bildet sich dabei wohl ein, es müsse sein Tun Gott gefällig sein. Allein, es gleichen Christen denen Palmenzweigen, die durch die Last nur desto höher steigen.
As we've grown accustomed to, now after that recitation, we'll hear an aria. And while that recitation we just listened to was sung by the bass and was very dramatic and talked about the Antichrist and how he thinks he's doing a good thing by persecuting Christians, now we're going to switch to the soprano voice in this aria, and it's going to be high and light and beautiful, and it's going to bring us then the good news and the promise that we still have as Christians, even though the Antichrist in the world seem to be against us. And so while earlier we just caught a glimpse of the gospel, now we're going to hear it even more clearly, that even though persecution storms against us, God is watching over his church. The words we're going to hear sung then are this: the consolation of Christians is and remains God's watchful care over his church. For even though at times the clouds gather, yet after the storms of affliction, the sun of joy has soon smiled on us. And so you see here, our hope is Christ. And in Christ we have joy. In Christ we are carried through the storms of afflictions and the clouds that gather. In Christ God takes care of his church. Now I want you to be clear in this. There is no separation between God's watchful care and his church. If we desire God to watch over us, we need to be where the church is. If we desire God to care for us, we need to be in the church. That's why it's so important for us to be there week in and week out, because it's the place God comes into contact with us. He does so through the preaching of his word, through the word that is in the liturgy, through the word that is read from the lectionary. He comes to us in the word, even preached in the sermons. And he comes to us also by reminding us of our baptism and forgiving our sins in confession and absolution. He comes to us in the sacrament of the altar, where we eat and drink the very crucified and risen body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in, with, and under bread and wine. Our comfort as Christians is in the things God gives us in church. And this makes us think, for example, of Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus says to Peter, the writer of the epistle lesson for today, "On this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it." And what is that rock that he builds the church on? The Christian's confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. On that we are brought into the church, and on that death cannot prevail against us. And this idea that our comfort is in God watching over the church is also in the Psalms, for example. "He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Psalm 121. Or we have this idea that there will be joy when the storms of tribulation disappear. That's an idea found in Psalm number 30. "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." This saying is sure: if we have died with Jesus, we also live with Jesus. If we endure, we also reign with Jesus. Though there are sufferings in this world, we are victorious in Jesus. Though we face tribulation, Christ is our comfort. And perhaps the best place to summarize this comes from Romans chapter 8. We could read the entire chapter 8 here. It is a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. I encourage you to read it if you're at home right now. But Romans 8 says this: "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. These tribulations will not conquer us, because we are still in Christ's care." We'll hear this beautiful, light, and airy aria now sung at this particular time, and it kind of encapsulates the triumphant spirit that we have been feeling and talking and singing about this entire Easter season. And so think of this beautiful little aria as the pinnacle of what we've been hearing in Easter. We'll hear it now. This will finally bring us then to the closing chorale of this particular cantata. This closing chorale is a chorale, a hymn written by Paul Fleming. Paul Fleming was a very famous poet who lived, ironically, he was born the year that our last hymn writer from the first chorale died, and he lived until 1640. And so he would have spent most of his life alive during the 30 Years' War. He served in that 30 Years' War underneath the Duke of Holstein-Gottorp, Frederick III. He was a physician, a courtier, and a steward for him, and he had interactions with many other famous poets of his time, including Martin Orpitz and Andreas Griffius. And this other one's kind of tough to say, Christian Hoffmann von Hoffmann-Waldau. How say that three times fast. So he interacted with all these other famous poets, and he is amongst the best of them then. He wrote many hymns in the nine stanza form, and many other hymns in other forms as well, and Bach used his works quite often to use in these particular cantatas. We're going to be hearing then the final verse of his hymn, In All That I Do, I Am Led by God's Counsel. And the words, this is verse number nine, stanza number nine, the words that we'll hear sung now are this: Therefore, my soul, be true to yourself and trust Him alone, who has created you. Come what may, your Father in heaven knows what is best in all situations. And this is the reminder for us as Christians that as we face persecution and difficulty and challenging times, God is actually in charge, and He will put it all right in the end. And I love this idea that our soul needs to be true to itself, and the way that it does that is not actually by looking into itself or trusting in itself or using its own reason or understanding, but rather it is being true to yourself if you trust in the one who has created you, if you trust in God who has knit you together in your mother's womb. And that's just an amazing way to think about it. It is contrary to the world's way of thinking, especially in our world today, and yet it is the truth. And so I'd encourage you to do that and think about that idea. This is from 1 Peter 4:19 again. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. That's the idea that this closing chorale will bring. And so we'll hear that sung now at this time. And as you heard that, I hope it reminded you of the passion that we worked through this Lenten season, because that tune, while it was used in this particular cantata for a different hymn, is quite common in the passion that we heard this Lenten season. That brings us then to the end of this particular cantata and also to the end of this particular episode of Bringing Bach Back. We pray that this episode has been a blessing for you and that it has allowed you to peek into our great Lutheran musical heritage and to enjoy a piece of music that is decidedly Lutheran in theology and is an amazing contribution to music itself. As you think back on today's episode, remember that this is what church music can be, beautifully carrying our theology in music fit for heaven. Bach was little more than a church organist who took the great hymns and chorales of the church that came before him, we heard two of them today, and made them into music that carried the gospel to hearers of countless generations. That's why it's so important that we continue to bring Bach back into the Lutheran church today. If you have any feedback on our program, let us know. Contact us at KNNALP 95.7 The Cross, and we'll continue to work on improving our episodes each time. We'll end our episode today with the same words that Bach wrote at the end of all of his compositions, three little letters, SDG, for Solo Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. I'm Pastor Adam Moline, your host, bidding you Auf Wiedersehen until our next episode. God bless your day. Bringing Bach Back is a production of KNNA Radio LP 95.7 of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. If you have any feedback on this episode, please contact KNNA or visit its website at thecross957.org.
You are listening to KNNA LP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.